I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. In the first reading, we hear God's commandment that were given to Moses so that the people could live according to God's plan. Most of these laws were not that extraordinary. In fact, most of these rules or commandments mirrored the ethics of the civilizations of their time. No society condoned lying, stealing, or abandoning the elderly. In fact, many had rules against it. But Israel's Sabbath, that was very different. No other religion or group had that understanding. You see, the Israelites imitated their God and consecrated one of every 7 days for worship, family, celebrations, and leisure. This Sabbath affirmed that people are more important than work, that strong relationships with God and others outvalue any accomplishment, and that everyone needs time for recreation, for recentering themselves in relation to everything else. You see, the Sabbath became a way to understand and to treasure people's time and leisure. It enhanced the people's relationship with God, while at the same time intensifying their own relationship and identity with each other. Keeping the Sabbath holy was another way that Israel better appreciated the sacredness surrounding them and highlighted places, practices that sharpened their awareness of the presence of God and indeed their meaning of their life. While the God of Israel could appear anywhere, the temple functioned as a focal point for prayer and other expressions of people's relationship with God. It was considered a holy place. It is in this context of the Sabbath that the temple was also considered sacred. The day that Jesus entered the temple, as we hear about in today's gospel, he observed not faith, but sacrilege. This place of worship, the center of the people for God's people, looked like a bazaar, and Jesus gets really angry. Rather than it being an inducement to prayer, conducive to prayer, sacrifice had become business, supporting the money changers and merchants who made fortunes by selling supposed access to God and selling little animals at outrageous prices, operating as the opposite of what he was intended for. The temple could impede people's experience of a loving and merciful God. You see, in Jesus' eyes, the temple had become a blasphemy, an anti-reign of God. And so after evicting the religious retailers, Jesus makes his famous statement, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again." John explains that, quote unquote, this temple refers to Jesus himself, not an architectural wonder. And so Jesus claims that he is definitively replacing the temple and the sacrifice. He sacramentalized, if you would, the presence of God through his loving relationship and all that flowed from and in through him from God. So when we say God is love, we assert God's presence is mediated in relationships. Yes, institutions may facilitate our awareness of God's presence, but we encounter God in prayer and in each other. Prayer, especially communal prayer, as in here at Sunday at Masses, but also encounter God in the love that we share among ourselves, especially when we do loving actions towards those most in need. You see, Jesus' anger in the temple is at the twisting of God's love for the world. They had distorted their faith and desecrated God's house. They offered a counterfeit relationship with God based on sacrifice over love. And Jesus rails against this. He loses his temper. It is not enough then that we say we are putting God first, but we must act in accordance with those words. Whether those words are prayer words or whether they are conversation words, our words must follow what we believe. Historically, I suppose we can give Judaism credit for the beginning of the weekend, with their Sabbath being on a Friday night through Saturday, and then the addition of the day of worship and celebrating Sunday. Eventually, the weekend was slowly adopted as a standard when most people rested and recreated. Unfortunately, we've lost most of that understanding here in Silicon Valley, if not across most of the Western world. And it's a shame. We could use these days so much other work. It's a shame that we use these days to do so much other work. One of the challenges for us then is to, well, return to the original understanding of the Sabbath command and to take seriously the time to rest, recreate, do service for others and pray. Maybe we cannot get the full weekend back, I suppose, at this point, but we could take at least one day off and rest and recreate. I have to hear this myself as much as all of you. This is for all of us. We all breathe in the same culture. So if we could maybe take one day off every week, it would help us all to be, well, better versions of ourselves. And if we paired that with our temple attendance, what we call coming to Mass as part of our shared identity, I really believe it would serve us all very well. We would do well to rest more and sleep more. And we would do well to come together in community and prayer on Sundays. Yes, it would be good for our souls. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Keep holy the Sabbath.